Welcome to the Rogue Startups Podcast, where two startup founders are sharing lessons learned and pitfalls to avoid in their online businesses. And now, here's Dave and Craig.
All right, welcome to episode 188 of Rogue Startups. Craig, how are you this week?
I'm good, man. I'm good. It's been a few weeks since we've chatted, and I'm sorry it's been so long, but it's nice to catch up, and I think we'll just kind of talk through some updates this week, right?
I think that sounds great. Why don't you get started? What's going on with Castos and everything else?
So I'm trying to think of like what was going on the last time we talked. I know what the big thing is. It's a holy shit big thing. I guess on the personal side, we are back home now after being gone for almost a month. You know, summer vacation in Europe is like a religion, you know, like everyone's gone for the month of August. And we finally kind of gave in and did the same thing with the rest of the continent. And it was really cool. We spent most of the month in Italy and it was really awesome. And now we've been home for about 3 weeks and it's awesome to be home too. But like from a personal work productivity standpoint, I'm finding that I'm burning myself out maybe because I have so much more work time than I had for the previous month. I'm finding that I'm just like really edgy and agitated a lot, which is not cool, obviously, like with your team and stuff. So I'm kind of getting used to working, you know, 40-hour weeks again. So that's whatever. That's kind of like an observation I'm making of myself and kind of how I'm feeling these days.
Wait a minute. Was it you're feeling edgy because you're back to work or you're feeling edgy because you were on vacation and didn't have enough time to work? I'm a little confused.
No. So it was definitely a workcation. Like I was working, you know, 20 plus hours a week, 20, 30 hours a week while we were gone. But we were just gone. It's traveling some days during the week and just, you know, I wasn't at home and shitty Wi-Fi and all this kind of stuff. But now that we're back, I think like I'm expecting more of myself, you know, because I'm back and I should be working full time. And I just am, you know, I kind of see sometimes that like, you know, oh, I wish this was doing better, or I wish we were, you know, doing more of this and less of that. And I think I'm just spending more time in the business than I did in August. And so some of the things that are less than perfect are like really evident to me now because I just see them more often. So that's
okay. Yeah. All right. That makes more sense. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I think that it kind of makes the case for like where I am now at, like I'm on the other side of the valley, I think after, but you know, this is Thursday evening, some really hard times this week. And like what I've realized is that I have to get myself out of worrying about some of these details in the business because they're always going to be there. Like these things that are less than perfect or processes that aren't great or something like that. I can't just sit and worry about them all the time. I have to go kind of do my own things that are proactive, let the rest of the business run as good as it can today and work on those things from like a fundamental perspective and not try to make everything perfect all the time by having my hand on it, you know? So that's where I am today is like, in a way, try to take like an emotional step back from like the things that aren't great and just say, okay, that's not great. That's cool. We'll worry about that tomorrow or in an hour or next week. And right now I'm going to go, you know, get ready for a webinar or send a bunch of emails or, you know, do some SEO stuff or whatever it is. And, you know, try to make the business as a whole better other than just, I've really just been like hyper focusing on a handful of things. And that's just not healthy in any respect. So
some might call that micromanaging.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally, yeah. Uh-huh. I fight against it very hard, but I think everyone's nature, right? Like, you just want
to
put that thing in the pressure cooker and see what happens. And it's just not, it's not possible.
Yeah. I mean, I have to actively refrain from micromanaging. And it was probably the one thing I think that's held me back as a manager the most is that, you know, I want to put my stamp on it. I want it done my way. And that's not right. You have to give somebody the tools and you have to give them the trust and the space to get it done. And then if they're not doing it, have a discussion. And then if they're still not doing it, then it's time to probably let them go. But yeah, I mean, you can't micromanage that process and expect greatness.
Yeah.
I tried that. It failed. It continues to fail. Anytime I repeat that, occasionally I come back to that mistake and then I'm like, No, that's old Dave. You gotta stick with new Dave. New Dave doesn't do that. New Dave is leaving that alone and trusting this person to get it done. So
yeah.
It's hard. It's really hard.
It is hard. And I've been talking with David Hensel, who was on the podcast, geez, I don't know, 30 episodes ago or something like that. And he's like over in this side of the world. He's a German guy, but he lives in Turkey. And so he's kind of like an official mentor for these kind of things. Because he's like the total, he's risen above his business in this respect. And he has like one-on-one calls with each of his managers once a week. And he has a one team meeting every Monday morning. And that's it. And I'm like, how the fuck can you do that? And he's like, just do it. Like, it's not how, it's just you do it. And then you figure out how to make the rest of the business and the people in the business support that, because that's how a business should run. It shouldn't be that you are glued to Slack for 10 hours a day.
No. Then you don't have a business. You have a job.
Yeah.
It's the difference between a business and a job. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think, and I'll stop bitching because this is just very not me. But so the other thing that like I think is unique for my situation, well, anyone who like has a global team that's in a bunch of different time zones, is what I also have found, and I think this is why I felt so bad, like emotionally, is like I spend all morning basically like with the development team, because they're both of our developers for Castos are in my time zone. So we do product and engineering and, you know, stuff in the morning. And then 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, both Eileen, our support and designer, comes online, and Denise, our marketer, comes online. And so then I get to work from like, you know, 2 or 3 to 6 or 7 with them. And that's like, whoa, you know, this is a 10-hour day really quick. And
oh yeah,
I am never, sorry, Rob and Einar, I am never going to work 10-hour days consistently. But I have been, like in the last couple of weeks, I have been working several 10-hour days a week. And it's my fault for letting that happen and taking too many meetings and not having structure around stuff and not enabling the team to do more. And I know they all listen to this and they're probably saying like, wow, I didn't know it was that bad. And it's not that bad. It's just like, I've just felt like some of these things have been like creeping in. But overall, man, things are going great. Like we're growing a lot. And we actually just like did a really disruptive thing for the business, which I think will turn out to be really good, but we can talk about that later.
You're not going to share?
I'm not.
Such a tease.
Oh, okay. So I'll share and I'll just get all of the stuff off my plate. And then we can talk about what's been going on with you and Recapture. Yeah. So the big thing that we got out of the Tiny Seed retreat a couple months ago is that we should do a no credit card trial process for Castos. So for the last 2.5 years, we've done, you know, credit card at sign up, like a lot of hosting companies. But what we've noticed is like a lot of the newer and progressive companies are not doing that in our space specifically. And a lot of SaaS apps just in general don't ask for credit card up front. And so we turned that on September 1st, well, September 2nd, because it's a September 1st is a Sunday. We turned that on about 2 weeks ago. And it is amazing what's going on. I mean, we're still kind of just waiting to see what the result will be. But I mean, we're getting, you know, 5 times the number of new trials that we had before. And the big thing that everyone worries about is all your support is going to go through the roof. It's almost exactly the same as it was before. Like I look at the reports in Help Scout, our ticket volume is up like very slightly, but we've done a lot of things to get ready for this, to make onboarding easier in the app. And so I think that that's really paying off with like having a whole bunch more people in the app and not seeing a lot more, you know, support requests. So fingers crossed.
Is that a lagging indicator though? Like, is it going to take them a while? Like you get the new customer on board and that you don't start to see support issues for like a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks? Cause you just said you turned it on 2 weeks ago. So I'm just wondering, is the storm coming? You just haven't hit it yet.
Totally possible. Yeah, totally possible. But I mean, I think possible. But I think that I mean, we have just a whole lot more people using the app now. So if all those people had issues, we would be hearing from more of them. And it might just be that it's so bad that they just don't want to use it. But I don't think that's the case. I mean, people are converting already and stuff. So I'm sure this will take us a while to figure out what our conversion rate is, because basically all of our SaaS metrics just went out the window, you know, number of new trials a month, conversion rate. Churn probably will change with this. LTV might change. I don't know. So it's a really exciting thing, because I think this is something that can open the top of the funnel a lot for us. But it's scary that the business was super predictable before. You know, our metrics were really, really, really consistent from month to month. And now I don't, you know, I have no idea what to expect in, you know, whatever, 6 weeks from now or a month from now at this point. So we'll see.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to revisit that topic, I think, in the next 2 to 3 months, when you start to see the 60 and 90 day cohorts and what kind of retention you have in that. Because I think that'll start to tell you what, you know, are there holes in onboarding? Are there holes in their experience? You know, is it a different class of customer that's coming in and just like looking at the pricing after that period of time and saying, you know, this isn't worth it for me.
Yep.
That will be fascinating to see, because these are obviously, I mean, they're potentially different kinds of customers, a different customer persona, right?
Yeah, very potentially. And I think the key to making this work, like when I was thinking about why we didn't do this at the beginning, the biggest one, it took a little bit of reflection to admit, is that you're scared that your app sucks. And if a whole bunch of people see it and have no reason to convert because they haven't put their credit card in, that they're not going to convert. Whereas like if you can get them to put the credit card in up front because your marketing and your on-page copy on the marketing side is good enough, then they're kind of invested already. But with no credit card trial, like your app has to be really, really good to convince somebody to keep using it. And I think that along with the support argument, that's probably like the one that I realized was like my biggest reason for not doing this from the very beginning, is like, I don't know how comfortable I am that we can sell people with how the app performs. Now I'm really confident because it's a really great app. But I mean, when we launched, that would have been a different story, because it was a very different experience, you know, 2.5 years ago.
Yeah, it's interesting to find what makes people convert. So with Recapture, what I've found over the past 5 months because we send out an automated thing through Intercom that says, you know, why did you pick us? How did you hear about us? I don't get 100% response rate on that. I don't even get 50 or 25% response rate on that. But I do get people that are coming in occasionally, and they're almost, and this is before that we talk about like the upgrades to the paid account or any of that stuff. So that's a whole different matter. But the reason that they just come in and try us out in the first place is usually because A, we have a free plan, B, because we are highly rated on the Shopify App Store, mm-hmm. and C, because they heard about our customer service from the other reviews. And then usually those same people that are actually bothering to come back and say something to me are the ones that upgrade to paid. So I assume that those things are important enough that once they figure out, oh, the app works too, all of that becomes a package and they're like, yeah, I'm good. Sign me up.
Yep.
So yep. I wonder what that experience will be like for you, since you are just opening up those floodgates now.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. I mean, we've done a ton of work to try to get more data around what people are doing in the app, you know, have events with drip and workflows that are smarter around all this stuff. So I feel like, I mean, the whole experience is better all around. And Denise has been heading up a lot of that on our side. And it's been great to have some help there. But yeah, jury is definitely still out. Our first customers should be converting, you know, by the time this episode goes live. So I'm very nervous. I'm very anxious to see how this turns out here in the next few days. Yeah, we'll use that instead of the terrible one.
All right.
All right. How about you, man? How are things in Recapture land?
Oh, gosh, there's so much going on right now. So before we get into Recapture, which is actually the interesting stuff, let me just update on the plugins a little bit. So we've been pushing through our 4.0 release for AWPCP, and the support queue just totally got out of hand for a while. In fact, it's still not perfect right now, but we're finally struggling to kind of get that under control. There may need to be some changes on my development side of that need to come in the near future, but we can discuss that on a different episode. But for Recapture, I just went, so, you know, we're having another great month of growth, which is awesome.
Nice.
And let me tell you, I'm kicking myself for not putting in this automatic expansion revenue into the model earlier, because had I done this 6 months earlier than I did, I would be so much farther along right now.
Mm.
And I'm just, it's just constant face palming that I'm looking at this going, this has been consistently growing. It's not, you know, it wasn't the CardHook integration. I still get CardHook customers and they're great, but that's not like the main driver of my revenue. The main driver of the revenue is I get people signing up, they use the app, and then a lot of times what I'll see is those people will either have like a big store or they'll have several storefronts and then they sign up all those stores. And so they aggregate in the revenue. And then as a result of that, that turns into expansion revenue like 60 days down the line. So what I've seen every month so far is something that happened 60 days ago where all these stores signed up. And then finally they hit that threshold where I did the calculation and I'm like, oh, look, you just bumped up to the highest tier or the second highest tier. And so I've seen like these massive jumps in revenue every month. And I'm like, oh my God, why did I not do that sooner? So yeah. Anyway, the punchline of all of this is that my year over year growth from September 2018 to September 2019 is 2.5x on recapture right now.
Whoa, no shit.
Yeah. So I am super happy about that. I am super blown away. But now, like, you know, as I'm starting to go up here, I'm starting to see, you know, just scaling problems, right? This is a good problem to have. Mm-hmm. But, you know, now that I'm hitting all of these, it's like customer support is starting to get a little out of hand. Not to the point where I can't handle it. It's just I'm getting more and more requests off my hours. So I'll get stuff overnight where people are signing up from like Singapore and Hong Kong and Australia and India, where I'm flipped on the time zone. And so they, you know, want to have a live chat and I can't do the live chat at 3 a.m. Well, let me rephrase that. I don't want to do the live chat at 3 a.m. So that's not going to happen, but I'm getting those requests now more often than I was before. And I'm seeing more things like, you know, the onboarding, and I have it, you know, I've talked about this several times where I'm getting the people onboarding and then some of them are just bailing and, you know, I'm not getting a good reason why they're bailing. And Shopify does this really lame exit survey. Why are you uninstalling this app? And you get, you know, really juicy bits like does not meet my needs or I found a better app.
Super helpful, or, right?
Yeah. Or other, the real, you know, the most helpful one of all, other. And sometimes they will actually bother to type in there, but 99% of the time it is completely unhelpful. So I'm not getting direct feedback all the time, like what's going on and why these people are bailing. You know, is it because they really wanted something like Klaviyo and I don't have all those features? Is it because they tried something and they couldn't figure it out? Is it because they didn't get my documentation and other stuff fast enough? You know, were they trying to figure things out? And they get an email within, I think, the first hour, but that depends very much on like Intercom and Drip's deliverability at any given time. So that could be affecting things, right? And, you know, there's other stuff like I'm now getting to a point where people are telling me, oh, do you have feature X? And I'm like, oh, well, that's on our roadmap. But, you know, and that previously was an okay answer. Now I'm actually, I saw the other day that a feature that we had, you know, from 3 or 4 months ago that I didn't have the time to finish and was trying to get Mike to work on, but other stuff came up and these integrations came up and they got prioritized accordingly. And now we didn't finish that feature and I actually lost 2 customers in a week because I didn't have that feature. Mm. And I'm like, damn it. Yep. And, you know, I can't tell how big their stores were. It could have been really small. It could have been really big, but, you know, they didn't have it installed long enough for me to tell because it takes about 24 hours for the Shopify API to allow me to provision and find out what their 30-day revenue is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, we're having good growth problems, but, you know, I am limited in my bandwidth in there and I'm still trying to deal with my consulting problem that we talked about from before, where I'm actively looking for a new gig and trying to find something that is compatible with what I'm doing now. And at this point, you know, now that I've seen this kind of growth in recapture, like if I had been part of the Tiny Seed batch that you're in right now, I would be in a really good spot to like use that money to fund, you know, this would be a perfect time to say, screw consulting. I'm out of this. I'm done. Now I'm just going full time on recapture. I'm like, I'm on the cusp of being there. Like I've done the calculations and I probably need about 5 to 6K more MRR to get there.
No, it's just a couple months at the rate you're growing, it sounds like, huh?
Well, maybe not quite that good. It's a little bit slower than that, but, and it's going to slow down here in October. I know that for a fact. As soon as like October and November hit, that's usually like lockdown time for stores. Mm-hmm. So I'm expecting things to be flat the last 3 months out of the year. It could surprise me, but I'm thinking that most stores will just go into lockdown mode. But with that said, I mean, that's really close, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting. It's just, but if I get to that point, that means like, there's no experimentation budget there. You know, all of the thing is coming back to me. And that would also mean that I might have to do some WordPress stuff, like development stuff. And I don't know that I'm super excited about that because that's going to take away from the focus of recapture. Mm-hmm. So I think I need to get a little farther along than that. But still, like, this is not, now that I'm seeing all this growth and now that I have a channel that's working and I can double down on it and I'm seeing activity and all of this stuff, like it's achievable, right?
Yeah.
It's not just some pipe dream where I'm like, oh yeah, I want to double everything here in the year. No, I mean, I'm working on it. So this is very exciting.
That is, I'm super excited for you. I'm super excited for whatever, a couple months or 6 months or a year or whatever it is when you can go full time and see how different like you feel about the business and how different the business is once you're able to do that. Because I mean, it's just night and day to be able to spend 100% of your time on one thing. And you won't have 100% of the time because you have your plugins. Like I have Podcast Motor that still takes up whatever percent of your time and your mental energy. But I mean, just being able to focus and knowing that like the majority of your glucose goes towards one thing is huge for the ability to move the needle there. And like, since we applied really and joined Tiny Seed, that's, you know, been Castos for me. And it's, you know, I think it's shown in our growth and how much better the app and the service and the marketing and all the, everything about the business is so much better since we're able to focus. So I'm very excited for you that it's going well. And I'm sure everyone listening is super excited to hear the day that you're able to quit the consulting and go full time. That's really cool, man.
Yeah. So at this point, it may just be hang on to the consulting for this, you know, brief window until I can actually hit that. Or it may mean change to something else. You know, my wife and I have already had conversations and we've looked at our expenses and, you know, we've cut things back so that, you know, if I do change at this point, it's not going to be like this major shock to things and we're watching things a lot more carefully. And, you know, we have some financial cushions and other stuff like that. So it's there. You know, we have this in process. So, and I guess at this point we can also talk about so you remember the 3 episodes ago I alluded to, you know, I had an interesting opportunity and I couldn't talk about it then. Yeah. Well, I can talk about it now. So I was trying to apply to basically run a JavaScript framework community and hosting platform that another private equity firm had bought. And I went through the process and we actually got pretty far along on it, you know, several conversations and email. Like I'm just out of the blue emailing these guys and they're like, oh, this sounds really interesting. Like you have open source experience. You've got this community stuff experience. Oh, and you've got SaaS experience. Maybe you're the right guy for this. And, you know, we got deep into conversations with it. And, you know, I don't know how many other people I actually was competing against. I think it was at least 2 other serious candidates in there. But in the end, they obviously didn't pick me since I'm still consulting here. But, you know, I got really far down that. I was super excited about it. I was talking with some other folks about, you know, what do you think about this firm and what do you think about this role and what do you think I should emphasize in this? Like, you know, I was just trying to extricate myself. And I also would like to say thank you to everybody who sent me tweets or DMs or emails about where I'm at right now. I really appreciate all of that. The sentiments that everybody sent me were very much helpful in, you know, trying to keep my head screwed on straight here and the right mental attitude for this time. But, you know, obviously that position didn't pan out. It looked like a really awesome opportunity, but, you know, when it came down to it, they were basically concerned about my ability to run a SaaS at scale. And, you know, I certainly could have done that, but they were looking for somebody with prior exact experience. So it was like, well, okay, I don't have that prior exact experience, but you know, I could easily handle this. And yes, I have a lot of connections that would allow me to get what I needed to make this happen, but that wasn't what they were looking for. It's not what they were comfortable with. So
that is, bummer, that is a tall order to find someone to come in as a, you know, product manager who's run a SaaS business, a large SaaS business before. I mean, I don't know anyone who has run their own SaaS business that wants to then go work for someone else running their, you know, putting, making someone else rich. I get that that's what they're looking for, but that just seems kind of bizarre to me.
It was, yeah. I mean, I kind of understand where they're coming from on this. You know, they're a PE firm. They just bought this business. They want somebody that is low risk to make sure that it's successful. I get that. I totally get that. You know, you just spent a crap ton of money on this. You don't want to waste your investment down the drain.
Yep.
With that said, you know, how quickly is it going to be before this person gets bored, right? Because they're not doing something that necessarily extends them, excites them, you know.
Yep.
They probably already have some mastery of this, and now they're just in execution mode. So where are they going to get their purpose out of this? I don't know. I don't know.
I also would say, like, I think there's a silver lining to this that is, if you took that job, you would be less focused on recapture. Recapture would, in the, you know, whatever medium to long term, would be less successful. Whereas now, like, you're seeing this growth, the opportunity to go full time on it is realistically there, right? Like, it's gonna come soon. And yeah, if you can stick out the consulting gig or whatever it is to make the most money with the least amount of work for the next 6 months, then you'll be like the place you want to be, and you won't have this new job that you have to go then quit and not piss those guys off or whatever. Just like, stick out whatever you have going now, make as much money as you can to save up or extend the runway or whatever, and then go full time. And then I think when you do that and you have a business that's making 10 or 15 grand a month, like, you're good. You know, like Rob says, you're default alive, right? Like, the business makes enough to pay for you. You have time to spend on it. The world is not going to fall apart tomorrow, you know, or you're not going to run out of money.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that, you know, when I started looking for this, it wasn't like a sure thing. Like, the, you know, I didn't have that full extra month of growth in here. I had seen others, but you know, I don't know how you feel about Castos, but you know, I still kind of feel this way about the plugins. You know, now that I've got all this history with them, I feel a little less like that. But you know, with Recapture, it's like, I have this sensation in the back of my mind, like, oh, that previous month was a fluke. They're all going to cancel this month. And I'm not going to have that MRR anymore. And I'm going to be back to where I was. But you know, that's not happening. And that's not, you know, it's not even a rational position to be taking, because obviously if they were really mad, you know, there's probably other indicators on there, and stuff changes with people's businesses. And sure, I have churn, but it's not like, it's not killing my business. And the growth is far, far greater than what I have for voluntary or even delinquent churn. So, you know, just, yeah, having that confidence to say, all right, I'm going to totally rely on this business for my income now is, it's scary, right?
Yeah.
It's definitely, yeah. I'm sure I haven't even gotten to all of the possible fears that I will face when I'm getting ready to shut off consulting and turn that on and say, this is it, here we go. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you, man. I mean, we, you know, the journey that we went through was kind of similar to yours. Like, we knew it was going to happen a long way away, like a year and a half away, we knew it was going to happen. And that, and you've been kind of going towards this too. And that really helps, because then you know, like, okay, I need this much in savings. Business needs to be doing this much. If it's not paying all the bills, that's cool. I need to have a year of runway for whatever that difference is, for that, whatever that burn is. And like, coming into it really gradually like that is, for me, was like a lot easier than just saying like, oh, I lost my job today, I guess I'll go rely on this SaaS business that's making 6 grand a month and we'll figure it out. Like, that would scare the hell out of me. But you going into this, making the decision with all the time control in the world, you know, I think when the time comes, you will have thought about all this stuff and lost sleep and drank too much thinking about it and it'll be fine. Yeah. And the business will grow so much more than it is now, because you'll have so much time.
Yeah. I mean, that's certainly the hope. But, you know, it's like there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and I don't think it's a train. So, you know, that feels pretty good.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. You know, still still so many questions and still, you know, keeping options open and still looking around for stuff. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. I think that about wraps us up for today. If anyone has any kind of questions or thoughts or suggestions for us for the show, please send us a message, podcast@roguestartups.com. We've, like you said, Dave, we've had more than usual lately, especially since like the burnout episode a few episodes ago. And it's great to hear from everybody. So for those of you who haven't sent us an email yet, get off your ass, send us an email, let us know what you're thinking, how we're doing, what you want to hear more or less of. And if you're enjoying the show, please share it with someone else who you think would enjoy it as well. Until next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Rogue Startups. If you haven't already, head over to iTunes and leave a rating and review for the show. For show notes from each episode and a few extra resources to help you along your journey, head over to roguestartups.com to learn more.